So welcome. We're glad to see y'all this evening. We're going to begin, we're in chapter 3, and we want to give you a little overview here of chapter 3. In this chapter, it records the fall of man and the consequences that came as a result of the fall of man. And the fall of man, it includes Satan's deception, and we read a little bit about that, the woman's temptation, and the sin of Adam. Now, God, we're going to find out that God deals with each one involved in the fall. So he deals with Satan, he deals with the woman, and he deals with Adam. Satan lied, and the woman yielded to temptation, and Adam sinned. Now, God prophesied of the coming Redeemer, whom he identified as the seed of the woman. And we'll see that in the 15th verse here of the third chapter. And he does this when he's dealing with the fall of man here, these consequences. Okay. We ready to pick up now?
It's up to you.
Let's go to verse 4 of chapter 3 then.
Well, I think it'd probably be good just to
go on through the whole chapter.
Just to go with this, yeah, until you get down to the thing.
Okay. Now the serpent was more deceitful than any beast of the field that the Lord had made. And we read that in the first verse of chapter 3. The serpent, the snake, spoke to the woman, saying, "Yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" In other words, he was questioning God, right?
This is the same principle that's used all the way through. Satan still does the same thing today. He try to get you to question God, and get you questioning God, and get you doubting God, the integrity of God, these type things. And what we want you to see is nothing's changed as far as the way Satan approaches. He still wants to get you to question God. If he can get you to question God, then he's more likely to get you to move away from God, to disobey God. And this is exactly what happened with the woman. So he brings her into question, you know, did God say? And how does she respond?
Well, she said, "We may eat of the fruit trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die."
And I think we mentioned this earlier, but it bears repeating, that when God placed Adam in the garden and God gave him the command of, you know, dressing and keeping it, and he told Adam, the man, the human being, don't eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the day you eat of it, die. Well, the woman had not yet been created or built. And so the knowledge that she has is what's been handed to her by her husband. And so evidently he's told her, don't eat of it, don't even touch the tree. Now, some people, I've heard preachers teach that Eve lied. Well, I don't go along with that. This is before the fall of man, okay? I think she's just saying what she was told, okay?
Now, in verse 4, I'm going to read verses 4 and 5 together.
The serpent just lies outright and says, "No, you won't die."
That's exactly what he said. "You shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil."
The real reason God doesn't want you to eat of that is not because it's going to kill you. He just put that out there to discourage you. You know, he said, here's the real reason. The real reason is that God knows if you eat of that fruit, that you'll be able to make decisions independently of God. You won't need God anymore. You can determine for yourself what's right and wrong. Where are we today? That's exactly the way Satan is operating today. This is a thing that's been propagated through the colleges. You know, you don't need God. You be your own God. You know, you can make your choices. You can discern between good and evil. You know, you've got freedom of choice and all this type thing. And so the same method is going down from one generation to another generation to another generation. You'd think we'd learn, but it seems like each generation becomes more and more stupid, getting farther and farther away from God. Yeah, I'm seeing things now that bother me with the generation that we have today. I'm telling you, common sense is a rare thing. It's not common. And what seems so obvious, people don't even see that it's obvious. They just play right into the devil's hand. Nothing wrong with that. Why? Because you've made yourself the God. You have no knowledge of the Word of God. And so you're not following the ways of God. So you're independent of God, right? And that's the downfall of any person. It's the downfall of any nation. When you make yourself independent of God, you're asking for trouble then. And so the woman falls for the trap. Nah, you'd be like God. Ooh, boy, I'd be like God. Yeah, that's what Antichrist thinks. Okay.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat.
Now, here's an interesting thing. The man was there. The man was told to guard the garden. He stands there, he listens to the serpent talk to the woman, and he knows that that is not true. The scriptures tell us, Paul writing to Timothy, Timothy said, the man wasn't deceived. The woman was deceived. It was through the man that sin entered into the world. You with me? He knew what he was doing. He did not run the serpent out. He did not take authority. He did not protect the wife. He just let her play right into the hands of the devil and then followed her suggestion. This is good. You ate some of it. That's the essence of it. So she eats and she gives to him and he eats. He followed her lead instead of leading her. The downfall of both man and woman, okay?
Now let's go back if we can, because she saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and it was to be desired to make one wise, so that it was good for food.
Okay. And this is really the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Satan operates today. Anything that's in the world, anything that is against God, will make its appeal to humanity by one of those three things. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. Get you looking at things. And then get you thinking about how good that thing is. And then the kicker is appealing to your pride, to your ego. Let me ask you a question. I want you to think about it, not answer it, just think about it. Why would anybody want to be like God to the where you're just, you don't need God anymore? Why would anyone even think like that? That's beyond my comprehension. I know that somebody smarter and more powerful made me. Now, how is it that I think I can improve on that? That's what baffles me, is the created thinks it's smarter than the one who created it. And that's where the world is today, prideful. And you know what happens with pride? It goes before destruction. And then that arrogant spirit is before the fall. But this is how Satan appeals to you. Lust of the flesh, that's what you see right here in the garden. Look at that. Man, that tastes good. Besides that, you won't need God anymore. You'll be your own God. And people are still falling for it. History's still repeating itself. Sort of amazing, isn't it?
Now, this is so important. We want you to remember it for your test. That the temptation tactics used by Satan against Eve are the same tactics he still uses today. These areas of temptation are lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. You're going to need to remember flesh, eyes, and pride.
And you know, James says, don't let anyone deceive you and say that God tempted you.
Mm-hmm.
He said, a man is tempted when he's drawn away through the lust of the flesh. You understand? We are the, Satan brings the suggestion, but we make the decision. God has nothing to do with that. And we're going to have to learn to take responsibility and quit blaming God and quit blaming the devil. Well, the devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do it. He doesn't have authority over you unless you yield to his suggestion. And when you yield to the suggestion of the devil, now he dominates your life. That's how sin got into the world. A suggestion was made. The woman decided to listen to the suggestion. The man decided to listen to the suggestion. And so what drew them away? Not God. Thinking wrong. Thinking about themselves, self-centered. What will this do for me? And that's where society is today. They're looking out for what will this do for me, not what can I do for you. And if you go into the church, and the mentality of the average Christian is not, Lord, what can I do for you? But it's, what can you do for me? And that's the approach to God. And most of the prayer is me, I, whatever. It's about what I need, what I want. Not what do you want. Not even interceding for other people, but it's self-centered stuff. And that's going to be the downfall of a person. When you've got your attention on you, you're headed down. Because you will yield to the temptation when your attention's on you. And so Satan will try to get your attention off God onto you. That's what he did with the woman. And through her, that's what happened to Adam. He knew what God said, but he placed his attention on what the woman said, not what God said. We call it the fall of man. Okay?
And these temptations can be so subtle, and they can do great damage, not just to you, but other people. I think about in the area of ministry, if God lays something on your heart to minister to a person, and then you hear that question, did God really say that for you to speak to that person? You say that, you're going to look so stupid. Are you sure? And then there it goes. Pride of life kicks in. Same tactics. And you understand it might not hurt you in the moment, but it might do great damage to somebody else. And then in the long run, it'll hurt you because you're not proving yourself trustworthy to the Lord.
Yeah, I was thinking how kids today think they know more than the parents. You give advice, you're old fogey. You don't, you know, it's a new day, a new way. Well, that's just a deception. That's a lie. Why do they think like that? Well, they tell me the nut doesn't fall far from the tree. It's because we're setting that example by that attitude toward God. You know, we think we're smarter than God, and that we think we can operate independently of God. Oh, I know you say this, that was for them, that's not for me. I have had a religious leader to tell me that, not just exactly like I said it, but that would work back then, but it won't work today. In other words, God can't keep up with the time. God says, I never change. That means that what God says is good for any time period, any generation, any continent, any nation, any race of people. If God said it, it works, period. We just have to apply it. We have to follow what God says instead of trying to manipulate and make it say what we want it to say. And that'll always get you in trouble.
Verse 7. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons.
Now, you think about this, and I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to provoke your thinking. You know, animals don't know they're naked. They're not ashamed. Do you know that's how man was when God created him? What's the difference? He got his attention on flesh. And you get your attention on the flesh, you start seeing the things of the flesh. You understand? But the bottom line, when God made them the way he made them, they were naked and unashamed. Animals aren't ashamed. They don't know they should be ashamed, so they're not ashamed. But when you get the knowledge and you start making independent decisions of God and you start looking at the flesh, you'll bring shame around in a hurry. And so what happens? Try to cover it up. And people spend a great deal of their life trying to cover up stuff. Think about it. I did it for years. And you probably did too.
And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden.
Now look at what happens. When you become aware of you, and God comes on the scene, you want to hide. God didn't hide from man. And God didn't ask the question because he couldn't find man. Adam, where are you? Well, I heard your voice. I was naked and I hid. Who told you you were naked? See, you ask him two questions. Mm-hmm. Who told you you were naked? In other words, the underlying meaning, I didn't tell you that. Where'd you find that out of? Have you eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? It's not that God doesn't know. He's dealing with the man. Mm-hmm. He knows he ate of it. Otherwise, he could not have known that he was naked. You understand? And I'm going to tell you, when you become aware of you, you're not comfortable in the presence of God. When you become aware of the God in you, you enjoy the presence of God. You're not afraid of the presence of God. When your life is being lived for the Lord, you want the presence of God in there. And I'm telling you, people will stay away from certain settings. I used to do it myself because I was afraid God was going to tell on me, expose me. Do you understand? But when your heart's right with God, man, you want to commune with God. You want to be in the presence of God. You want God to talk with you. I'm telling you, there's tons of principle here if we'll just pay attention.
In verse 12, after the Lord had asked those questions, and man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat."
It's always somebody else's fault. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you listen to society today. It's always an excuse. And you've got lawyers making tons of money just helping cover people up, lying for them. People don't want to take responsibility for their actions. Did you eat of that tree? The woman. It was the woman. Well, indirectly say it's your fault. You gave that woman and she's the one. No, he doesn't address that right then. But he does address the woman.
Mm-hmm. And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat."
Yep, here we go. It's not my fault. It's the snakes. The snake's the one. I just did what the snake told me to do. Passing the buck. The snake can't pass the buck.
Mm.
So God deals with the snake, and then he comes back and deals with the man and the woman.
And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shall you go, and thus shall you eat all the days of your life."
Now, from that statement, it appears that the snake didn't writhe on the ground to begin with. It says, from now on, you're going to crawl on your belly. You're going to eat the dirt. You follow me? You see that in all that? Then he... So he says there's going to be hostility between you and the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Seed. Her seed is going to be hostile toward your seed. Your seed is going to be hostile toward her seed. Have you read that yet? Go ahead and read it.
Okay. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel."
Actually, if you look at this and really search it out, you'll find that what he's saying is the seed of a woman will defeat you completely And precisely, it'll crush your head.
Mm.
But you'll crush, you'll defeat completely and precisely the heel of the woman's seed. Now note this, the woman's seed, not Adam's seed. Now it's extremely important to understand this. Adam's seed was not the, it couldn't crush the head. Because Adam now has the nature. And so it's got to be the seed of the woman. That's why it is absolutely imperative to believe in the virgin birth. Because if you do not believe in the virgin birth, then you have no salvation. It's not the man's seed crushing the serpent. It's the woman's seed crushing the serpent. And then what did the serpent do? What did the devil do? In Revelation, we find the serpent, the dragon, the Satan, devil. He's called all these different names, okay? And so what did he do? Well, he definitely bit the heel of the woman, right? It's her seed when Jesus was crucified.
Mm-hmm.
But when he looked like he defeated him physically, it was Satan's defeat because at that moment he crushed him completely and precisely. He crushed the head of the serpent, took his authority away from him. And people don't understand today, I don't know why the church hasn't got this, but Satan does not have authority. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Well, that doesn't leave any authority for the devil. So how does the devil operate? Jesus gave us authority. And so Satan uses your authority to destroy you. Just like he used the woman's authority to destroy her. The man's authority to destroy him. He'll use your authority against you. This is why authority is... It's an interesting thing. People want these positions of authority. It's a prideful thing. Why do you want to be in that position? Why do you want this title on your name? It's a pride thing. It's an ego thing. And you'll fall for that trap that quick because Satan will just make it so subtle. And people are going hook, line, and sinker for the devil's deception. Got to keep our eyes on the Lord. Keep our eyes off herself. Understand that we're the seed of the woman's seed rather than being the seed of the man's seed. You follow what I mean by that? We're the seed of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We're the seed of Abraham, the man of faith, not Adam, the man of flesh. Okay?
Okay. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow you shall bring forth children, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you.
So here's he deals with the woman, he deals with the serpent, then he deals with the woman. And he says, I will greatly increase your pain in pregnancy, and you'll bring forth children in painful labor. Any women in here who's had any babies knows that's a fact, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, your desire will be to your husband, and he will rule over you as a result of that. Now, you can have your feminist movement, your chauvinist movement, you can do all the other stuff, or you can just throw all that stuff aside and look at the Word of God and understand why we're operating like we are today. It's the result of the curse, not the curse of the law, the curse of Genesis 3. They're not the same. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, but we have not yet been redeemed from the curse of Genesis. As far as the physical man goes, you have to walk in the Spirit, not to be under that curse. You see where I'm coming from? And so it's not, God has designed this thing through what He said to the woman, that she, by nature, the woman is more dependent on someone than the man. Would you agree with that? You think about it. She's more in tune with her emotions and can get upset more easily and be persuaded more easily. That's why advertisements, salesmen, all these things, they will target telemarketing. They will target the woman because they feel like they can pull the wool over her eyes, so to speak, more so than the man. And so she's dependent and demands to keep her covered, not boss her around, but to overrule things. And when you look in the law of Moses, if a woman made a vow and she was not married in her father's house, her father could annul her vow and she would be guiltless. If she was married and she made a vow and her husband hears that, he could annul the vow. And if he didn't say anything, then the vow stood. But he had the authority. It's a divine authority God set, and it comes as a result of the fall of man. Now, once we're in Christ, our authority, our head is Jesus. But that does not negate the order of God in natural life. Because if we're doing it right, like 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, then the man submitted to Jesus. If the man is submitted to Jesus and doing the will of God, then he's going to treat the woman right. He's not going to be taking advantage of her. The woman submits to that authority. God the Father, Jesus Christ, the husband, the wife. But when you look at that, if everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing, it's all operating one with God. Not I'm smarter than you, or I know more than you, I'm more spiritual than you, and all that kind of stuff. That's what's gotten people into so much trouble. But God set an order there, all right? From now on, your husband makes the final decision. He rules over you. You all right with all that?
There's so much truth in it. Ladies, when was the last time you had to deal with a broken down car or an insurance agency or something of that nature? I mean, I could tell you story after story after story. Taking the van to get fixed and getting an estimate, that'll be $900. Will taking it up there and somehow it cost him $60. I mean, example after example of that. That's the truth. It's just it is what it is. And if we're in line and operating the way we're supposed to be, we'll be covered and protected. I'm good with that. I'm all right with that. There's wisdom in staying in your place. All right. Let's see what happened to Adam here. Verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it were you taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust you shall return.
Now think about this. The woman was not made from the ground. She was built from the rib of Adam. God dealt with her personally, physically. With Adam, it's interesting, God did not curse the man. He cursed the ground that man came from. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And so he says, because you've done this, then the ground's cursed for your sake. And so now you're going to have to sweat when you work. And the ground is not going to be producing to you like it did before. There's going to be resistance. You're going to have briars and weeds and all this other stuff. And you're going to have to work hard. You came out of that ground, you're going back into that ground. And so he cursed the ground. Romans, Paul said, creation is groaning and waiting for redemption of mankind. The ground suffered as a result of the fall of man. Time's up, so I'm going to have to stop here, okay?